From the JPR Steve Nelson Performance Studio, welcome to another JPR Live Session. I'm Dave Jackson. On JPR Live Sessions, we get to talk with artists we admire and hear one-of-a-kind live performances. Joining me today is a singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist known as a gifted lap steel guitarist. Got his start as an in-demand session musician while juggling several other musical projects. He released his full-length record last fall, Alone at Sea. And joining me today, it's Jeff Plankenhorn. Welcome to JPR.
Oh, man, thank you so much for having me. This is a beautiful studio.
Thanks so much. Sometime in the last few years, you moved from Austin to Vancouver Island, but take us back. You were originally from the Midwest, is that?
Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest, Ohio and Michigan, and I don't know why I was always landlocked. I really, really have loved making the traverse, you know, growing up listening to Motown and stuff like that, kind of being a funk and jazz guy, and then moving to Texas and playing with so many, 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 many wonderful songwriters. And then about 16 years into it, I went solo at the ripe age of 43, which you can believe actually does happen in music these days. It's pretty amazing.
There's kind of a do-it-yourself nature that's happened in the 21st century that sort of allowed people to in the internet and everything to get noticed, at least, or to have a chance.
Well, I had a lot of luck too, because my name was already around as an in-demand kind of side guy,
right?
And that helped a lot. My wife is from Vancouver Island. It's very beautiful up there, and we would kind of travel back and forth and snowbird or sunbird, depending on how you're looking at it from Texas point of view.
Right.
And, get out of the heat in the summer. And then every year we were up on the island, we would stay a little longer. And when the solo thing took off and I was able to do this full time, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we just decided, well, now I can just go back to Austin and play every once in a while and we can make this the home base that I tour out of. And it's a pretty big luxury. I'll tell you, and the other thing is, man, it's like an adventure.
Uh-huh.
As somebody who's never been close to the coast and never been right there, it's cool, man. I really dig it. And it's creeped into my writing. I mean, the album's called Alone at Sea.
Right.
I'm not alone, but I'm at sea.
So was your family musically inclined? How did you get started?
Yeah, I started singing in church when I was a little kid. I was like a little freak of nature, like a boy soprano who could sing really high and really in tune, and didn't read music or anything like that. I remember my first church choir director would like use her hand to show where the melody was going so that I could learn by ear.
Wow.
And sang in a bunch of languages and stuff. By the time I was 10, I had sung a couple three national anthems at like Indians and Phillies games and did some commercials and stuff. And then my voice changed and I was like, I'm going to have to meet a girl eventually. So for me, I had to get a guitar.
Right.
And that was how I delved into that.
Uh-huh.
And my big brother's a musician. He was kind of my biggest influence. I was always John's little brother who plays guitar too.
Oh,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you're John's little brother. You play guitar. Oh, that's great. You too?
Yeah.
And so that was a wonderful challenge to get over, but he taught me a lot.
Yeah.
And then I kind of snuck my way into school. I had about 6 months of piano lessons in high school, and then I had like some voice lessons because I was doing some acting and stuff like that.
So you always kind of had a performer kind of
streak. It never stopped.
Yeah,
I think too, I came from a single parent home, it was kind of like where you got your love. My mom was on the road a lot, and my dad, who was sort of estranged, but we reconnected about 10 years ago, and I'm really, really glad that we did.
Uh-huh.
But it was like, a great way to connect with people and to feel, wanted and needed.
Uh-huh.
And so whether it was playing music or writing or acting or musical thing every once in a while too, it was always something that I needed to do.
Well, why don't you start us off with a song? What do you want to play?
Well, how about that title track we were just talking about?
Sounds good.
Then I don't have to think.
Sounds good. This is Jeff Plankenhorn in a JPR Live session with the title track to his latest. This is Alone at Sea.
Tugboat, fisher boat, sailboat, yacht, Fred or Dory, skiff or barge, where are you going? Where have you been? Can I hitch a ride and see my story begin? I really wanna go out on the ocean. I really wanna find a little island. Really wanna fare my days alone, 'cause I'm oh so tired. Sunlight shine on snow white sail, and cool breeze, warm winds never fail. When all is said and done, I still should have a little fun. But who will you leave behind you when you run? I really wanna go out on the ocean. I really wanna find a little island. Really wanna fare my days alone, 'cause I've grown so tired. I really wanna dream the dreams of angels, find something better in the in-between. Really wanna be okay being alone at sea. So hard, there's no time to play. And we drift so hard, I don't make time to say I love you, at least not the way I should. But when we're gonna find out all is already good, yeah. I really wanna go out on the ocean. I really wanna find a little island. Really wanna fare my days alone, 'cause I'm oh so tired. I really wanna dream the dreams of angels, find something better and the in between. Really wanna be okay being alone at sea. Tugboat, fisher boat, sailboat, yacht.
That was Alone at Sea. It's Jeff Plankenhorn in a JPR live session. You can find his music and more about him at jeffplankenhorn.com. And you're on the socials as well?
Yes, sir. I'm on all the things. It's Plank E-N Horn.
Yeah, P-L-A-N-K-E-N. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. H-O-R-N.com. Yeah.
I just wanted a stage name that dripped from the tongue like honey. So I just woke up one night and went Plankenhorn.
And you get called Plank. Now,
I do get called the Plank and Plank, which is especially funny across the pond. I mean, it used to be like a thing where, you know, when I was a kid, coaches and stuff, you know, like the my name would wrap all the way around from like the front of my shoulder to the other. Right. The P was over here and the N was over here. So they just call me Plank. Yeah. There was a great famous football player named Doug Plank, too. I think he was from the Raiders.
Yeah.
And so everybody called me Plank. And then, you know, it kind of stuck because I'm a little bit thick-headed and I'm a little bit stubborn. So then it kind of stuck for that reason. But then when I went across the pond, it was like people were coming up to me and saying, do they really call you that? And I'd say, well, yeah, because, but then I found out that, you know, it basically means that, you know, if you're as thick as two short planks, you're a plank, so you're not very bright.
Got it.
So I found out.
Kind of as.
Yeah. And so if you're, oh man, that guy's a total plank, you know, it was like my first album's called The Plank, or it's just called Plank. And it was like, oh, here's my new album. It's called Dumbass, you know, or whatever.
Right.
And I love it, man. I just lean into it. And
you might as well. And so your first album, actually, you decided to make an album while you were pretty much juggling all kinds of other bands and projects and being a sideman in Gerf Morlick's.
Way back when. You know, because Gerf was producing a lot of my friends and a lot of people that I played with back then.
Right.
And he said, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, man, I kind of just wanted to make something that I would sell at the merch table. And because I was playing my own songs and doing stuff around Texas at the time, but I wasn't doing it full time.
Mm.
So I wrote a bunch of songs, and Gerf was producing Slade Cleaves and Mary Gaucher and of course, Ray Wiley Hubbard.
Right.
And so I was playing on some of those records, all of them, not Mary, but God, I love her too.
Yeah.
So I was playing a lot of those records, and he was like, well, send me some songs. And I sent him his songs, and he said, yeah, let's do it. And it was really great. That kind of got me started too in a different way. But I continued to be a sideman for a long time after that record.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't until I did the Soul Slide record in about 2016 when I was like, oh, now I need to do this because I'm getting some airplay and,
right,
you know, modest, don't get me wrong, and enough to start doing my own gigs a lot more.
Right, cool. And how did you end up meeting Ray Wiley Hubbard? Because I know you're
a great side
man with him. So
it was a great story. Well, you know, a friend of mine, Chris Buhalis from Ann Arbor, Michigan, said, hey, I want you to come to this Folk Alliance thing. I said, what's that? And it's just like, you know, a bunch of folkies renting out hotel rooms to try and get gigs for the year and to find new artists and stuff like that. It's a conference. It was in Memphis. And he specifically wanted me to meet Ray Wiley Hubbard. And I was like, oh, there's not much of a chance of that, but I'll come down anyway and I'll play with you.
Right.
And at the time I was in a 6-piece hip hop collective and I was playing guitar and singing and we had a DJ and we had a rapper and all that kind of stuff. But I also loved playing with songwriters because it was a very, you know, maybe I'd sing a harmony and I'd play dobro,
right,
you know, on my lap. And so I go down and I play with Chris and I see, I'm in Memphis and I see Ray walking up with a writer friend of mine from the Detroit Free Press, a guy named Tom Jurek, great music writer. He and Ray were walking up the street and I said to my friend, I said, hey, just hold on a second. Maybe Ray will come up and Tom will introduce us.
Yeah.
So Tom comes up, he goes, man, Ray, this is Plank. Man, he plays killer dobro. And Ray looked at me, just nothing else. He just looked at me, he goes, you want to play a gig tonight? And I said, yeah, man, sure. And he said, well, I know rehearsal is highly overrated, but I'll come see you play with this other cat. And if I like it, then you can come up to my room and we'll play through a couple tunes. So he came and saw me play with Chris. It was a fantastic show. And then I went up to his room and we played through three songs, When She Sang Amazing Grace, The Ballad of Crimson Kings, and Without Love.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, all right, I'll see you at 8.
Wow.
And that was the last time I ever rehearsed with Ray Wiley Hubbard. And I've played hundreds of shows and, you know, been on his records for years.
And I was going to ask, he has a pretty loose sound.
He's got this great thing that I love called... his arrangements are fall in and then fall apart. So you fall in at the beginning.
Right.
And then at the end, you just fall apart.
So when you came in to play songs on his album, were those parts written or was stuff you just came up with?
No. I mean, most of the albums that I'd played on, it was more of a, you know, it's funny. I've gotten a lot more into writing parts rather than take improvised solos. Although Colin Linden on my new album was really in, like, we'd be playing a track and the great drummer George Roselli was playing drums, played with Dylan for 20 years, you know, and we'd just be improvising something and he'd go, okay, that's it. And I was like, what? You know, and I love live in the studio, but right. I was a little surprised that it was the first run through, you know, of the song. And I'd be like, all right, okay, well, you're the Grammy winning producer right. and I'm the guy who's kind of letting go of the reins on this yeah. one, which was a thing on this album uh-huh. was to specifically try to let go of the reins and be produced. By someone, because I've always kind of co-produced my own albums.
And Colin Linden's not a bad way to start doing that.
No, he's really cool and really great. Yeah. And I ended up playing, you know, four songs on slide and my little lap steel acoustic and
right.
four songs on acoustic and then a couple songs on piano. And it just turned out really, really, really cool. And that's what you hope a producer does, right?
Right.
For those out there listening who haven't made your records yet, you hope that a producer listens to the stuff and ties it together and makes it all feel like a cohesive album.
Right.
And the other thing I loved about Colin was I love the way his records sound, like the mm-hmm. overall mix, feeling, mm-hmm. fullness, how right. it sounds through speakers, how it sounds in headphones. And that was a big part of why I wanted to work with him. And I think we got that on a lot of it.
Very cool. Well, let's hear another song. What do you want to play?
How about since I did the little lap steel thing, I'll play a guitar song. I was thinking of this song. A friend of mine, this is a song about a house I used to live in a long time ago in Wimberley, Texas, and I am very glad I don't live there anymore.
Well, the floorboard's creaking, I think it's gonna give. And the tin roof's leaking, but it's where I have to live. The pipes, they are bursting and belching from the tongue. And it seems that the worst thing is yet to come. But in all of my hatred and despise for this place, you know I'd rather be in here than out in the rat race. This world is too big for me, I am too small, afraid of my shadow. I only crawl into the cellar that stinks of rotten mold. It's dark, damn, and dingy, and a sight to behold. Well, the window's broken so everyone can see the mess that is me. Stranger knock upon my own front door. When it reached for the handle, well, it fell down to the floor. I tried to hide my embarrassment and shame, but it's falling apart, and there's no one left to blame. Some things I think time will never erase. The cold smell of feet and the stone horror face as it fell through the wall. I knew it was there, they decided they'd never be coming back again. And you know I don't need company, no, I'd rather be alone. The lines have been down for years, why bother with a phone? Well, the curtain's torn so everyone can see the mess that is me. I'm reminded of advice an old friend had to give. He said, if you don't take care of home, where the hell you gonna live? Well, the window's broken so everyone can see the mess that is me. The mess that is me.
That's Jeff Plankenhorn in a JPR Live session with a tune called The Mess. That comes from his latest album, Alone at Sea, produced by Colin Linden. Find out more about Jeff Plankenhorn at jeffplankenhorn.com. So that song, it's about a house, but maybe a little more than that.
Yes. In Texas, I found out later after moving there that that's what we call a metaphor.
Yeah. So was there something going on in your life at the time that you were writing about that?
Well, you know, it's funny. It was a creaky house and spooky. And I was really just getting used to the fact that even though it had an A-frame and my bedroom was upstairs, the scorpions, which didn't end up in the song, but they would climb up the ceiling and then they would fall right into my bed. And if you've never been... stung by a scorpion, you also know that they don't get you once. They go, and they get you a couple of times. And they were little ones, and you would feel a little bit queasy, so you would know it was poison, but it wasn't like death.
That's a deadly, yeah.
Right? And you had to shake your sheets out and stuff. And so it was this really, really creaky house. And truthfully, like, I mean, was I really in that bad a shape that time? No, but I was later. Uh-huh. So the song meant more. Uh-huh. It was more of a character, somebody who just like really wanted to be a shut-in because they couldn't get it together.
Uh-huh.
And I had moments of that, and I've uh-huh. definitely had moments where I would like look out the blinds to see if anybody was coming. But luckily, those days are gone for the most part.
Right.
I'm in a brighter time in my life. It's funny, I joke with my friends about how I went through a period where I didn't want to be a singer-songwriter anymore. You know, because it was like people would pay, you know, $25-$30 to come to a show and hear me play, and then I'd just get up on stage and whine about my problems.
That would be sad.
Right? And I got tired of that because, like, you know, I had turned my life around. I had gotten married. I started this solo career. Everything was going great. But most of the time when you're happy, you don't want to sit down and write a song about it.
Right.
You know, it's usually the other stuff.
Right. It was John Craigie has got a great line. It's like,
love John Craigie.
We write our best songs after the first date and the last.
Oh, that's good. That's I like
pretty
that.
Cool.
I yeah. like that.
I don't know if it works for me that way, but I do appreciate. There was a time in my life where I might have felt that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love John Craigie, man. What a great artist.
Yeah, he's good. He's a really neat songwriter. So you play a lap steel guitar and you've also sort of had somebody design something that works a little better for you standing up. Tell us kind of about what's a lap steel versus like a slack key guitar and a dobro versus what you're playing.
Well, think about a lap steel guitar as people have seen people play guitars on their lap. The first thing they say is, oh, like Jeff Healey. And that's great. Jeff Healey's good Canadian, fantastic artist, but he kind of frets a guitar and just did it that way. But then these artists like Ben Harper plays Wise and Born. And David Lindley was an amazing lap steel guitarist. Mm-hmm. Of course, Robert Randolph and the whole sacred steel tradition of playing pedal steels with distortion and wah-wah for the House of God and the Keith Dominion churches. Right. It's all sacred music, really beautiful stuff before he went out of the church and started bringing that to a wider audience. All these influences and bluegrass dobro, I got to learned bluegrass dobro firsthand when I lived in Nashville from Uncle Josh Graves and Gene Wooten and people like that. I kind of put all these amalgams together. When I was in Austin early on, everybody wanted me to play dobro in rock bands, and the technology really wasn't there. And so it didn't sound good. Frankly, it sounded horrible. And I would joke, I'd call it playing by Braille because I couldn't hear anything on stage. Right. I remember the year Ray Wiley won Song of the Year in Austin for this song Conversation with the Devil. We were on stage at the Austin Music Awards. It was my first big gig in Austin a couple months after I moved there. And I didn't hear a note that I played. You know, with my dobro. So I went to a luthier, which is your fancy name for a guitar builder, and I said, I want you to build me something that is a dobro-shaped body so I can stand up and play, and a lap steel neck so I could tune it the way I want, and then electric guitar parts. And so I threw electric guitar parts. And there were things kind of like this at the time. There was a mellow bar that was like kind of looked like this weird flying V that I mentioned David Lindley played. Right. Before we started the show today. But there wasn't anything like this out there that I could go buy.
Right.
So I just designed it. Some people are like, oh, you invented a guitar. No, I did not. You couldn't patent anything.
Right.
I remember going to the guys at Collings because they're in Austin, really, really wonderful people. And they said, yeah, we don't patent anything. Yeah. If somebody wants to steal it, they can. Mm-hmm. But what's great is, you know, they named the instrument after me.
Yeah,
Ray Wiley yeah. and Gerf, they joke and they're like, they don't, each of them thinks that they came up with the idea. And so they called the instrument the plank. Because it's like a plank of wood you just threw down into a guitar. And then I'm able to play it through all of my pedals and a big amplifier and rock out and not have to worry about can this compete
right.
with drums
right.
and all the electric instruments. And what's great, the best thing about it is I sold them for a little while. I had a luthier build a few for me.
Uh-huh.
And this kid, I shouldn't say kid, this young man who plays with Parker McCollum, Will Knack, he plays one, and I love seeing it out in front of like these big stadium tours.
Uh-huh.
You know, I see pictures of him. I saw a picture of him playing it this morning. I was like, oh, makes me so happy. And then another young man who plays in kind of a hippie jam band called Steppin' In It, which has Jack White's bass player. You know, he kind of like facilitated that whole thing. Dominic Davis is just an incredible bass player. So I hear these other people doing things that I never would have done with it.
Right.
And that's even cooler.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard it in country. I've heard it in, you know, funky stuff.
Yeah.
And then what I used it for was kind of like, I guess you'd call it like roots rock,
uh-huh.
you know?
Yeah, I guess that probably, yeah, I yeah. So if I was categorizing your
that's
music,
probably what I'd do.
Rock, yeah, broad spectrum Americana.
Yeah,
sort of,
yeah,
right?
Maybe Americana. Yeah. Americana, it gets such a broad thing now.
It is a little too broad, yeah.
It is a little too broad, but roots rock is good for me. That's fine. You know, I just needed that big power chord on the bottom. Uh-huh. Then I went out and I got this old Oahu guitar for when I do the songwriter tours.
Uh-huh.
And it's a fine, high-quality student model 1940s Oahu Hawaiian instrument made in Cleveland.
Nice.
And it really, really works for me for, you know, that first song, Alone at Sea, and for a lot of the stuff on the album.
It's got a nice sound to it.
Yeah, it's nice and woody. It kind of sounds like a Weisenborn, but I'm able to stand up and play.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I like to stand up and play at my shows. I like to engage the audience a lot. It's not just a sit and play kind of show.
Right. And that's, so you're touring now as a solo right now?
Uh-huh. Yeah. The main two things I like to do, I like to go to festivals with a band.
Uh-huh.
And I really, really, really like to get the crowd moving.
Uh-huh.
And I don't talk a lot,
uh-huh.
believe it or not. And, cause I have the curse of gab more than I have the gift of it. And, but then when I go out and I do the solo thing, it's more acoustic, and I like to tell stories. People like to hear where the songs came from.
Sure.
So, I enjoy that.
Well, speaking of that, you got one more for us? You want to play Honor Steinway?
There were a couple of songs that I did on the piano on the album, and I started playing the piano again after years, you know, during the lockdowns and stuff. And, yeah. So I'm kind of working out how to play things solo on piano when I'm out on tour, and I love it. This song is called Juggling Sand, and I don't know. I'm kind of against arguing when it's futile, you know? And as much as I am a person that thinks that we all need to talk more than we used to, I love discourse. But sometimes it just becomes like, it becomes like juggling sand, so...
Very good. It's Jeff Blankenhorn in a JPR live session.
Sometimes you fly like a bat out of hell. Sometimes you fight, but don't ever dwell. 'Cause every single moment you know could be your second chance. Fool me once, shame on you, yeah. might as well be juggling sand.
Juggling Sand, that is Jeff Blankenhorn in JPR Live Session. That song comes from his latest album, Alone at Sea. You can find more about Jeff Blankenhorn at jeffblankenhorn.com. Also find him on social media. Jeff, thanks so much for being here today on JPR.
My sincerest hope, and I just want to say, if you're out there, support public radio. Public radio is really, really important for artists like me, and it means a lot. So if you have it within your means, make sure you donate. Public radio, very important, and this station's really great.
Oh, thank you so much for that endorsement, and good luck on what's going on with the rest of your tour. And you can find this JPR Live Session later on our website, ijpr.org, or wherever you get your podcasts. JPR Live Sessions are engineered by John Griffin of Luna Zen Studios. And for JPR, I'm Dave Jackson. Thanks for listening. Open Air continues in just a moment.